This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey everyone, I just want to take a small intro here before we start the episode to point you over to gdux.me. That's gdux.me. We have finally released the teaser announcement trailer. It's short but sweet, so if you want to check it out, go for it in the link description of this episode. This is happening in June 1st to June 3rd, and it's super exciting. So follow us on Twitter at GDUXME, G-D-U-X-M-E, or go to the website itself and find out more info about it. We are about a week away from announcing amazing presenters. Also, in addition to presenters, we have amazing games to show off as well. So go over there to GDUX.ME, and I hope to see you guys at the conference. It is standing for Game Dev Unchained Expo. So this is made for you guys. You guys are the original fans of the podcast. So I would love to kind of see you guys there at the show itself, because it was made as an extension to celebrate you guys. So looking forward to seeing you there. What's up, everybody? This is Game Dev Unchained, the number one game development podcast about game development and the lifestyle thereof. This is, of course, if you've seen the title, is a very special episode every month. It is a roundtable of news. This is kind of like a tag team roundtable. It's just me and Ray this time. But it's just going to be equally as fun. And Ray, if you hear his laughter in the background, I'm going to cue him in right now. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, what's up, Brandon? How you doing?
Doing good, man. So let's kind of start this off in the right way. It's been about a month since we talked about, or actually caught up, right? So it's been another month of COVID. Kind of want to hear your thoughts and updates within your own network, you know, personally, professionally, everything. Just to give people out there a little preview of what your life is all about right now.
You know, it's the same as it's been since we started, right? So I'm just working from home. I'm in my office like pretty much all day, you know, from anywhere from six in the morning or seven in the morning until five or six at night. You know, take a couple of breaks for lunch and whatnot, but that's it, you know. And then on the weekends, staying home, although I go out sometimes, you know, to go get things if I need them. But otherwise, you know, it's the same. It's the same it's been, you know.
How are you hearing from companies? I mean, we all know you're very connected, right? We were kind of laughing at the horror show that most companies are going through, kind of. Well, I mean, the poor IT departments being crossed with wire, essentially.
Yeah,
would love to kind of hear your thoughts. Have things kind of plateau, gotten better?
Yeah, from what I'm hearing, people are working. They have some sort of setups going on. You know, of course, for some people, it's not ideal, but it's you know, yeah, it feels like everybody was scrambling in the beginning, and now people are actually working, right? But it's still, I think, people are being more impacted by having like kids at home and having the balance, you know, managing their children and working from home. And that's been a struggle for people for sure.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much in the same boat. I've been hearing things are at least up and running. And that whole challenge of that a lot of even experienced remote workers are not used to having their own office space and partitioning that. I think it was a good 2 months before I situated in my situation without all that mess, and a lot of people are kind of just battling it at the same time, which is
frustrating and scary, and especially not having any breaks from each other either. You're kind of stuck in that home with four or five people in a family. It's a definitely a different element to it, for sure.
I think on the bright side, though, I'm finding a lot of time to play games.
Yeah.
You know, so I actually have more time to play games, and I'm watching movies, I'm watching things that I would otherwise be too busy to do in a lot of other situations. So that's, for me, that's pretty good, because I'm actually, like, I'm not much for going out already anyway. So so being able to stay home and just catch up on all of that stuff has been pretty good for me.
Well, you're kind of laughing. Well, I'm laughing at that because I've seen your Facebook updates with your nice restaurants that you go out every day having those nice fancy dinners. So even taking those away, man, how have you been coping with that? Like, you're essentially at home all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, but I cook, right? So, like, I'm enjoying having more time to cook, or more need to cook at home. Still order out sometimes. We did order in a fancy dinner, like, so they just delivered a fancy dinner to your doorstep, like some restaurant. So that was kind of cool, because it does get kind of old, like, cooking for yourself, like, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yeah. Every single day, but it's been all right, you know. Like, of course, when this is all lifted, I'm probably, the first thing I'm going to do is probably go to one of my favorite restaurants and just eat. But right now, it's okay.
Right now, and I would say, like, the immediate step of eating out would be like dining in hell. It's very I gotta give a couple of months for the first survivors to kind of test the waters.
Just put your mask on, go out for dinner, and then, like, pull the mask down and eat, and then...
yeah, right when I pull the mask down, that's when COVID sneaks in, dude. It's gonna be different, man. It's gonna be different. Like, even right now, we're cooking all the time at home. And the one time, a few times that I cracked to kind of order out to kind of give ourselves a break, I made the mistake of going to In-N-Out to grab it, and just going through that drive-through and looking through the window and seeing how they were managing the food, right? I was like, to me, in my mind, you know, In-N-Out, if In-N-Out can't figure this out and do it the right way, nobody can. And they were just open face. Some were gloveless. I was like, oh my God. As time passes, this is just, I'm threatening myself. And that was it. That was like about a month and a half ago. Just been avoiding eating out altogether. So it's a very, I know that we should support, you know, all the restaurants around, but I don't know, man. At this rate, I don't want to die from this.
Yeah. I don't think In-N-Out's going to be struggling if you don't eat from there over the next couple of months. The more smaller mom and pop places that really, you know, need the support, I guess, right now.
My feelings with mom and pop shop is that if you're waiting for until the end of summer that everything's going to be completely back to normal, you might as well cut your losses and and just go home, man, because it's at first I was optimistic thinking that end of summer, right? But now I'm really thinking this is 2020, man, and even into the early of next year.
I'm still hopeful that at least all the stay-at-home orders will get lifted, at least maybe in June or July, hopefully, you know what I mean? But like I know some places, I know my job, you know, we have a plan for gradual return to office, right? So even after all that stuff gets lifted, it's probably going to be another 1 or 2 months after that before the office is back to normal. You know what I mean? So for me, it's like, working from home, it's going to be like this for a while for me, right? Regardless of what happens with the stay-at-home orders or whatever.
Is there a segmentation or at least a pattern that you're seeing with who they're letting back in the office first? Like the sacrificial lambs, like the marketing department, and then, the engineering is the last group, just to make sure the water's safe.
No, man, it's going to be the people that absolutely need, like, that do their jobs better and are more efficient back in the office. You know what I mean? And then like, if you don't have to be in office, like stay home basically. Right. And then we'll get to the point of, okay, now everybody's back in the office. Now that we know there's a massive COVID outbreak in the office. Right. And yeah. We know that it's safe. Right. But yeah. You know, there's some folks that are like just dying to get back to the office, or that they are just way more efficient when they're back in the office. And giving those folks, like when everything gets lifted, an opportunity to get back to the office in a controlled environment, it's going to be cool. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, there is a good percentage of parents that I think at first, I see it like a black and white situation. It's like the parents that are really loving their kids are loving this right now. And the parents who are seeing work as an escape is dreading this moment right now. And it's very, I think it's very real to kind of accept that. I mean, there is a need for a break and be selfish. I'm speaking on behalf of my friends right now. Not myself.
I don't know if I've heard that from people with kids. I've heard more just the pain of the homeschooling situation.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. I hear a ton of complaints about that. More than straight up complaints about just the kids in general. You know, yeah. Everybody seems to be enjoying the presence of their kids. I don't know about you, Brandon, but.
I love my kids.
But yeah.
That's why I shut the door when I'm working. Yeah. Love them so much.
Yeah, you're like, I love my kids when I'm not at the office, when I'm not home. I love them. No, but yeah. So people are more dealing with those issues, I think, more so than just the kids running around the place.
Yeah. I think if anything, you know, hunkering down and just really just accepting this is the year 2020 for everybody. Would be the healthiest path forward for sure. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is. I don't even really think the kids are going to be back in September, to be honest. Like, there's no way. How can they? Yeah. It's too early. Mm-hmm. Too early. Well, I mean, let's talk about what's not too early. All right. Let's go ahead and go into the next topic, or the first topic of today of the roundtable news. And yeah. Again, I just want to reiterate that these are opinions that only reflects upon ourselves and not of our companies. Right? I'm a lot safer than Ray over there, but I just want to reiterate that. So let's go into it. Why Magic Leap is scamming everybody. All right. So I'm going to go over here and then switch my camera to this news article that we've been checking out here. So like the last time we talked, actually, it's funny how these roundtable news are tying into each other. because it just takes about a month for things to kind of show its ugly colors, right? So Magic Leap, the last time, kind of as a warning signal, a fire, or where there is a fire, there's smoke, right? Or there is when there's smoke, there's a fire.
There's fire.
They were asking $10 billion. That's kind of like a prayer, Hail Mary, that nobody bid on. And then shortly after, they found out that no one's really liking them as much. They basically laid off, I think, a good portion of their staff.
It's like 1,000. It was like 1,000 people or something like that they laid off.
Yeah, I didn't realize they were that big of a company to even start with.
They're enormous, enormous, man. Australia, Florida, offices in San Francisco, enormous company.
Yeah. Well, I'm always impressed with these companies being able to build these hype trains. It's funny how these companies are all in your area, man, the Bay. They seem to be able to kind of hoard all this investor money and have nothing to show
for. Well, that's where the investors are. That's where all those like Kleiner Perkins and all those dudes are in the Bay Area. But like at the end of the day, right, I think I mess with Magic Leap, right? I tried it. I thought it was cool, right? I didn't think it was like $3,000 cool, right? And that's really what it all boils down to, is that unlike VR, they were able to get it. They weren't able to get the price down to something reasonable for that. So people on the streets would just be like, yeah, give me that, right? And with all of these things, the other thing I say about all these things is content sells, right? Content actually will sell the box. Right. And I didn't see any content that would really sell that, right, to the mass market, especially at $2,000, $3,000 price point, right? And then they realized that too, and they realized they couldn't, or at least they currently were struggling with getting the price down to a consumer level. And so they're like, okay, let's just go with enterprise, right? And if you're going to go with only enterprise, all of the things that are related to consumers, well, that's done, right? Mm-hmm. Gaming, the gaming applications and all that kind of stuff, just, well, you don't need to do that anymore, right? Yeah. It's sad for the people that are working there, you know, because just overnight jobs are gone, especially during this time. Getting laid off during the COVID stuff is like probably a horrible situation. I wouldn't use such strong language as scamming and all that kind of stuff, because, you know, investors are going to invest in the promise. You know what I mean? And magically pad a promise. And when you mess around with it, you're like, oh yeah, this is promising. Right. But, it just, you know, like, Money dries up. Nobody's investing. Everybody's like, okay, well, how's this going to be? How are you going to scale this? How are you going to sell this? And I think they could still be a viable business just doing enterprise, right? Because it could be applicable in that space for like architecture or for, you know, training or surgeries or whatever, right? It's just not a consumer device right now. So that's basically the story, right?
Well, as you were saying that, like, you know, they had great promise. I wish I went back to college and redid it and majored in promises, because it feels like I'm in the wrong business.
It takes a lot of effort to make something that could convince people to give you billions of dollars. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. And it's a skill, the size set of the company, it was obvious, right?
That don't get me wrong, all man. Those
people. Yeah, man.
It reminds me a lot of what Theranos was about.
Yeah, it's not even as bad as Theranos, right?
Because it's not as bad because they had a product.
They actually did. So, yeah, they shipped something that worked, right? But
so I want to ask you this, right? From the time you demoed, and it feels like even the article I was pulling up and reading through, there was a lot of smoke and mirror. Like, even the press and everybody, even the consumer market, was kind of like at arm's length. It's like, all right, I see where it can go, right? But like, let's just see where you guys actually, how close you actually get to it. But, like, how far away, if you were to guess, how many more years would it have taken them without any all of these financial troubles and the pandemic to get to where they were saying that this technology will be for consumer and be basically a profitable business without investor money?
Yeah, I think they're so far, far, far away from that.
Too far away.
Like the video, you know, the initial video they showed of, like, the first person shooter in the office kind of thing. Given the size of the screen, like, you know, the screen size is actually really, really tiny. When you're looking through the Magic Leap, the screen size is super tiny. It's like a little box, right? So delivering the promise of what that video was, like, they're years away from that, right? And then on top of it, I have no idea what it would take to make that tech cheap enough and small enough where it wouldn't be so bulky and cumbersome, right? I think they're way, 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 way far off. And that's also kind of why you do the pivot now, right? You're like, hey, we're really far from this. Money's going to run out. So let's kind of make a pivot and see if we could make a sustainable, profitable business just focusing on the people that will pay thousands of dollars for the hardware.
Yeah. I mean, this pivot definitely is admirable for any company that can see the dangers and actually have a chance or give themselves a chance. But this type of pivot kind of reminds me of, like, the GameStop type of pivot where it's the last roll of the dice out of money. Yeah.
Well, for sure. It's a Hail Mary roll of the dice, right? The one thing we're not talking about is how they did this during COVID, right? And kind of mentioned COVID as a reason why they're doing this. To me, that seems kind of disingenuous. I'll say it a nicer way. It seems disingenuous, right? It seems,
to blame it on COVID, why their product is 5 years away from being being into fruition.
Yeah, maybe it played a role in it. Maybe. But like, I think it was like when they announced it and they said, hey, we're shifting to Enterprise, like, yeah. Like I was not shocked by such an announcement, right? That just made sense.
Yeah, even with the pivot to the Enterprise space, and this is something that I feel a very similar headset that was promised by Microsoft a few years ago, HoloLens, did. But they saw kind of the path clearer and earlier, and they actually pivot towards Enterprise and have secured like a major American military contract since. And they're not as in the news as much for a consumer market, but they're definitely making money and profiting and are probably leagues ahead Magic Leap. I don't know how much do you know about that headset as much.
I've actually tried both, and I do think the Magic Leap was better in my limited interactions. It had bigger aspect ratio, right? I don't even know what the current state of the HoloLens tech is these days. I haven't looked at any new hardware or anything like that, if there is anything new. But like everything about Magic Leap seemed better, better quality image, and everything seemed better than HoloLens. Like at least the last version of HoloLens I tried.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure since Magic doesn't make money anymore and HoloLens is getting military money that they updated their
technology. Yeah. I'm not even sure if that's profitable. I have no idea, right? So yeah. I can't comment, but yeah. Well, Magic Leap will be there too, getting that military money eventually from somebody. I'm pretty sure.
More they're getting that COVID SBA loan money, if anything. But in terms of actual money, I think they're far from it, man. 1,000 people lay off, and even investors now are a bit too naive to think that they're going to be turning this around anytime soon. They've lost, I think, people's faith in its product, and I'm pretty sure the CEO is looking for a way out, if anything, and count.
Yeah,
like his wounds.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
If they're smart about it, or maybe they're just going to talk to GameStop and work together somehow. Figure things out. It's just as ridiculous. But good riddance. Hopefully, this is the last time we talk about them. I always track them because they've always been super hyped. But I've never tried the product, right? It sounds like you were impressed with it. But from what I've seen through the demo, it just seemed too far away for it to make an impact immediately.
And I think it's the same with all of this stuff, right? Like with the early VR stuff, the newer VR stuff is built on the learnings of that. Technology has improved. There's HoloLens, there's Magic Leap, there's other spatial computing stuff, like people like ARKit just on your iPhone. There's things that Apple might be working on that people keep kind of hinting at, right? There's all sorts of stuff, right, that you're going to see down the line that's going to kind of try to improve on this tech. And, sometimes you're the first person there and you fail, and then other times you're the first person there and you succeed, right? So it just depends on the time, right? I think it's the same thing with, like, Google Stadia, right? Stadia is on the line of working on tech that was developed before that really failed dramatically, like OnLive and Gaikai failed dramatically. And now everybody's back at it again, trying to be successful with game streaming, right? And maybe everybody who's trying now will fail too, but then there might be somebody that comes after that and improves all the technology and learns the lessons, right? I think that's the main thing. It's about learning. There's a lot of failures along the way to actually being successful.
I think through the rotting corpse of Magic Leap and Stadia that we're gonna get something really good out of all this.
We should You should have put on the agenda to talk about the Stadia Connect, because there's a Stadia Connect.
All right, guys, let's take a short break and have a word from our sponsors. This episode's sponsored and brought to you by Core. Core is a new free game creation platform that lets you create, share, and play games using the power of Unreal Engine. With Core, no coding or art skills are required. You can get started making games right away using thousands of free, high-quality music, sound, and art assets. But if you like to get nerdy with, Core still lets you create your own game logic in Lua coding script and build your own levels and art with their easy-to-use tools. The best part is you don't need to worry about some of the hassle that normally goes into making games. Core takes care of the difficult stuff such as multiplayer networking. You can build games from scratch or remix and reimagine content shared by other creators. And you're ready to publish. Your game will go live instantly on the Core platform with the click of a button. You can go into the link description of this podcast and support it by clicking on the link and check out Core Games. Or go directly right now, go to coregames.com and brace yourself for awesomeness. I am super impressed by this platform. Not only am I endorsing it right now, we are running a game jam with them for Game School Online. And you guys should definitely go check that out if you want to win some awesome prizes. I'm talking about some RTX 2070 NVIDIA cards for first place winners. This is something that you can team up with a partner and both win some RTX cards. When we do have placements for first, second, and third, where second and third, you get some awesome Amazon gift cards. So all you need to do is go over to beta.gameschoolonline.com and click on the Core 101 course. Yes, I have made a course for you guys so that you don't have to learn Core on your own. So with this lovely voice, I will guide you through 4 weeks of content. We're talking about 72 video tutorials to help you learn Core and participate in the retro game jam that we have going on right now. Super exciting, super fun. I will be there with you, with your partner, and we have our Discord server up so you won't feel alone. And believe me, as long as you finish, there's a good chance you will win one of the prizes. The cool thing is, as I've mentioned before, no coding is necessary. No art creation outside of Core is possible, right? Everything's going to be done within Core. So the playing field is set equally, and all of it is just opportunity and hard work. So what else you're going to do for the next 4 weeks? This is all going to be happening all throughout May. We're quarantined. We might as well use that time efficiently and upgrade your graphics card and have fun with the community. Again, all the links are in the description of this podcast episode for both what Core is, as well as where to sign up for the game jam. So go over there and check that out. Support the podcast, support yourself, help me, help me, help you. Now back to the episode.
Today, where they,
what?
Yeah,
is that a conference? All right, we can talk about it. This is all I knew about Stadia. Okay,
go for it. Like how they do in the Nintendo Direct. Right, so they did like a Stadia Direct. I think it was called Stadia Direct or whatever. I can't remember the name.
Why don't you give a little summary of what you saw here and why I pulled something up? Because I completely the radar for me today.
The main summary was they showed a bunch of indie games that are coming to Stadia. They announced what did they announce? EA, the last Star Wars game, Fallen Order. Jedi Fallen Order, whatever, that is available. This will be available in Stadia now. And what else? PUBG is going to be on Stadia. Those are kind of the big takeaways. FIFA, Madden are going to be on Stadia. And then they showed off a bunch of indie stuff. More variety, kids, co-op, multiplayer games. They're swinging for the fences, right? I think I'd be a little bit too strong. It's not exactly swing for defenses because like a lot of those games, I'm kind of like, I don't know. I'm not too excited about a lot of these games, but I think they're trying to beef up the catalog, right? Trying to beef up the catalog.
This is where I feel it was a mistake. I mean, this guy's face right here. I think I've made fun of this guy enough. I've seen this guy's face at every single console, right? We're talking about initially Sony. He had a weird stint at Microsoft, which was, and now he's over at Steam.
I'm not gonna hate on this guy. Like that's OG shipping consoles over many, many years, right? So, you know.
But bro, there is about being the front man of a competing product that just devalues the product, right? You can't be at Tesla and say Tesla is the best car in the world, and then next week I see you over at BMW saying, "No, this is the best car in the world." It just leaves a bad taste in consumers. How can I trust
you? Sometimes things happen, man, and you got to keep it moving, right? So.
Yeah, well, that's why Nintendo didn't have them, because they understand good PR.
Yeah. But right, like, so definitely, like, giving away 2 months, 2 months to Stadia Pro, you know, so you could get a bunch of free games with Stadia Pro, and then they made a bunch of announcements, you know, Doom Eternal,
Sure. I got a taste of the 2 months Stadia, right? It popped up in everyone's email. I think it was a smart marketing decision for sure, to at least have people try it. I logged on for about 2 minutes. I looked at their catalog, and then I immediately unsubscribed.
Dude. No, I said it already with Magic Leap. I'll say it again. Like, you know, content sells, man. And they have some stale content on there. They have stuff that, like, is old and people have already played. And, like, you're not going to get a whole lot of people attracted. They are working on first party brand new stuff. And when that stuff hits, like, maybe it'll be successful, right? But right now, it's like it's a wasteland of old games that you've played already, you know.
Exactly.
And that's the number one thing. But that's why they're doing this, though, to say, hey, we may have the old games that you've played already, but if you haven't played these games, you know, and you don't want to install them, and you don't want to download them, you're all good. You know, Octopath Traveler is a pretty good game. You know what I mean? So why not play it? And I think too, like, their whole Founders Edition thing was kind of holding it back. But now it's just, you could play it in a web browser. It's free to try it out, right? So, like, there's no harm in trying it out, right?
Yeah, except, you know, there's so many games that you should be playing right now and not waste your time on this crap. Like, I always...
No, but I'm saying, I'm also saying it's probably not for us, right? It's not really for us, right? Like,
but who,
like,
is it for?
It's for... Like...
Yeah, who is liking
that's, a
this
good, that's a good question. That's a good question. You know, like, I can't really say who. Maybe people that can't afford or don't want to buy a super expensive console. Well, here you go. You can play on Stadia. You don't need to buy the console, right?
I just wonder what, like, for me, like, the proper rollout would have been kind of like a closed beta, right? Just to get people testing until the first party content was ready to go, right? I don't understand why they had such a lackluster launch, knowingly so, and then have basically vacant months of not producing content for their their number one fans. Well, right, it's just underserving everybody.
Well they're two big games, right? Were Odyssey and Destiny, right? But if you're a hardcore player, you've already played these games, right? But for folks that, like I said, they haven't, and you didn't buy a console, right? Like, you can play on Stadia. Why not, right? I don't understand it. I don't understand how it's going to be successful, but I think it has to be successful with... this looks so much like Fortnite. But anyway, but it can be successful, you know, with a really standout first party title that really leverages the cloud based machines, leverages YouTube, leverages all of the cool features, and says, this is why you have Stadia, right? Right now, none of this is saying this is why you have Stadia. You could play this on a bunch of other systems. right? Yeah. And they're announcing some exclusive. They're announcing some exclusive games, right? That are going to be first on Stadia. So they're going to release first on Stadia, and then probably be everywhere else later. So that's cool. They're trying to lock down some exclusives, right? But you know, it's their indie titles are like, you know, very fun games to play. You can play with your friends, play it on the couch or whatever. But you know. It isn't Destiny, right? Or it isn't a game of the Destiny caliber, right?
So. Yeah, it's definitely what they can afford right now, for sure.
Yeah, they're going for it. So like, hey,
yeah, I would say this, right? In this time where you got Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo, like this is, if anything, the best fourth console. That should be competing. The only thing with this is kind of relevant to what we were talking about with how Magic Leap had this hype at the beginning, right? And that eventually died down. Mm-hmm. We're talking about 3 to 5 years before that first party game from the Assassin's Creed team is producing. It's going to be out, maybe, right? Maybe. Does this have enough legs until then? Can they afford basically operating at a loss until then? Is Google cool with that?
I think. Well, is Google cool with it?
History shows.
Is Google cool with it? Is the real question. I know Google can spend the money, for sure.
Yep.
But like, yeah, they have to be really devoted to this, right? And yeah, only time will tell with that, right? I have no idea. None.
What I'm seeing right now is just without sound. In context, I am so bored.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
Well, this is I think this was like testimonials from streamers and players saying how awesome it is.
All right.
That's what that is.
Not. It clearly isn't. And you gotta get some random ass gamers that isn't ready for camera time, right? Interlace with boring gameplay video, as if that was your cutaway shot and your cutaway option.
all I'm saying is what I'm seeing here is I'm seeing a lot of variety, right? And a platform that you want to reach a bunch of different people, you have to bring the variety, right? You have to bring many different experiences, right? Same thing with the, like, you know, Xbox Game Pass, right? There's a lot of different experiences and different types and caliber and quality of games. You got to do that. You got to do that on these platforms, like for real. You know, I think it's at the end of this video where they show the PUBG stuff.
All right, let's go. Yeah. Let's go PUBG. So, what's the big announcement with PUBG? It's free completely with this platform.
Yeah, it's available now. It's available now. You can start playing, right? Because it's
that's a big deal. A lot of PUBG players out there. They're definitely getting a lot of mileage out of that game already. So the
developers and the thing is, it says free with Stadia Pro, and they're giving you 2 months of Stadia Pro, right? So you can play it for free for 2 months, right? So hey, why not?
Yeah, man. Don't play all these other battle royales that are free. Play this one on Google Stadia.
PUBG's is the granddaddy, right? It's the
guess. I don't know, man. Whenever I look at this stuff, I'm just so... I get it. I mean, it's good to have a fourth player in the foray of things. Google is a major player. Yeah. I just don't understand why they launched this way. They could have done closed beta, and we wouldn't be critiquing it as much. It would have been just fine. They would have had the same amount of paying customers, you know, the hardcores. And it would have been forgivable if they weren't updating every month on their stuff. Like, it's very weird that they launched without a key first-party game.
I don't know if they thought they needed to launch. Like, I'm wondering if they thought they just needed to launch before Xbox One, Series X, and PS5, right? Like, they just need to get out there before the new console cycle sucked all the air out of the room.
I don't know, man. If they're Stadia, they're all about the cloud. Like, who cares if it's a console?
But then that's the thing.
The biggest
too, like,
thing that I go ahead.
But I was just saying that's one of the biggest advantages is that it's in the cloud, right? Because then you can upgrade the hardware, whenever you want, yeah. And they can just get faster and better.
So why try to beat a PS5 when you're going to be a PS5.5 at any second, right? Or any minute. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
The biggest draw for me when they showed that trailer was the YouTube feature, the ability to kind of jump in. Like, that's huge. That's a huge feature. Not only are they attacking Twitch, but like all the consoles at once. They should have just worked on that and have a Division-like game ready and just launch with it. They would have had a better success than what they're doing now. It's becoming a joke.
But you also know that, like, it's hard to make those type of games, like, completely unique experience on some new experimental hardware. I'm sure, like, when the kits were working, a lot of those features weren't even working yet, right? Those are promised features, but that weren't quite working yet, weren't quite ready for prime time, weren't quite ready to scale out to all the players. And so they're kind of doing a gradual release. I do think the barren wasteland that is the content offering is pretty, it's like bad. It's really bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I don't know how you launch it unless you were working on the games 3 years before the launch, right? You know what I mean? And we're brand new. Like, when it comes to making video games, like, Google's brand new. Google doesn't know how to do this.
Exactly.
Right? So that's why it's taking longer.
Yeah. I mean, the only lingering hope that I have is because they have a lot of your old coworkers over there, some key players. From the
they got some folks working on that stuff.
I mean, they can't just lay all those people off at once.
I would have put nothing past Google, but I'm anxious to see what games come out, like the flagship first party games, like what actually comes out. I'm super hyped to see what happens.
I am hot.
Right. And, you know, and small plug too, like, you know, there's the Google, what is it? Stadia Makers Program with Unity, of course. So folks can make Stadia games with Unity. Right. So,
yeah.
You know,
well, I hope
you know how it is.
To live off of.
You can reach
once
you can reach Stadia closes every
shop.
Platform, right?
Stadia closes and also, before they can publish those games. Yeah.
No, and I'm also curious to see what happens with, like, you know, Project X Cloud for Microsoft and whatever Sony's going to do around this.
So do you see that, you know, we won't spend too much on this topic, but do you see the X Cloud, what Sony is doing, threatening what Stadia is doing, like stealing their Steam, or do you think they can still coexist because Stadia is so different?
No, I think it depends on the business model and it depends on the games, right? You know, from day one when Project xCloud is like out of beta or whatever, and you have your Xbox Series X or whatever, those first party Microsoft titles are going to be on that thing.
That's right. What I'm
you
saying,
know,
man.
You know your Game Pass. You know your Game Pass. You probably have Game Pass and pay an extra $5, and then all of a sudden now you have all your Game Pass on xCloud. Like, you know, it's going to be something like that. And if it's gonna be a problem, right?
It's already a problem, dude. I've seen xCloud, right? I've seen the games that they are beta testing right now. It's fucking way better than what, because you're talking about the Xbox library, right? And Sony has the same ammunition. They have the Sony library. Yeah. Day one, that's hundreds
content.
Of awesome games. Greatest
content
hits.
Is king. Content is king. Always.
So I don't see my own opinion is that I don't see how Stadia can do anything. I mean, but fall back on YouTube.
Flagship first party games. Right.
But they're not gonna have hundreds or 50.
Yeah, they're not gonna have hundreds, so I don't. But Microsoft doesn't have hundreds either. Microsoft has a solid five, right? But
right, but
a solid
Sony,
five.
Bro. Sony.
Yeah, Sony, yeah.
Every 35 years, Stadia can have maybe 0.5 awesome game, right? Like, how are they going to beat any of these systems in the long run? It's impossible. How is it going to work?
But also, like I said, right, does it need to win? Right? Does it need, like, define what is the success, right? Like, is it, you know what I mean, right? Like, all it has
I'll define Google's success, right? Google Maps? Google the search engine? Right? These are wins? And that's it, dude.
Okay. So stadium,
nothing else exists.
For stadium to be successful, to be successful, everybody in the world has to use it. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm so worried for your friends in their mansion right now, shaking in their boots over at the Stadia camp. They know the outcome has to be better than just good. It has to be the best console ever, right?
This is, like I said, this is like the first step, right? And so hopefully there's a plan, long-term vision. You know how it goes, man. You know how this works.
I know how it goes. I just don't want to hear another 1,000 people lay off at Google because they didn't plan out PS5 and Xbox having a history of games that they can pull from, that all they need to do is upload to a cloud server and call it done. Like, it's a funny thing to kind of fall into and not realize.
I'm saying right now, everybody seems to be not really doing great launches for new hardware right now.
Yeah.
I know that's one of the topics you wanted to cover, right? Like,
Well, I mean, let's just go ahead and talk about the next topic then, as I kind of switch over and talk about it. So, like, last time we talked about it was when I was kind of hyping up Half-Life Alyx, and we were talking about, you know, how well, at least for me, Valve Index seems to be doing. And the funny thing you were saying is because they only have like 10 of these headsets that people are selling at 1,000 a piece. But data is showing that they are doing really well, man. They're taking 10%, at least on the Steam market. 10%, dude?
Okay,
we're talking about 100,000 headsets.
Hold on. Back up, right? Yeah, that's 10% of the 1.29% of all users.
Yeah.
Right? So that's like a small number.
All right. How many Steam users?
In the grand scheme of things, right?
Okay.
Because they say the 1.29% equates to about a million people.
Yes.
Right.
I agree.
And so 10% of that is 100,000. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I find that actually pretty hard to believe, actually. But okay, let's say that's true.
You're not believing, you know, Papa Gabe, dude?
I still think these numbers are kind of, I don't know. Conflated, but, like, I think maybe, and then also, like, PSVR is like more than a million, right?
PSVR is in 5 million. 5 million to 6 million headsets out there,
And this is like 1,000 different headsets, and they add up to about a million, right? Which is kind of like, come on now.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, this is just the Steam library. Yeah.
You know, and this is also like users that own a headset and not really take into account users that are actually actively using the headset, right? Which is another part of number. That equation. Yeah.
From what I remember, at least when Half-Life Alyx came out, there was a good number of concurrent users initially, as you can imagine, a lot of hype around it, right? But out of the gate, $1,000 headset, we're talking about mere 4 months, right? We're talking about COVID having impact on everything. COVID is doing well for Steam and their Valve headset, $1,000 a piece, $100,000 in the bank, man, they'll take that. And they're not even a hardware company, right? But, like, if we look at all the – and forget all the shovelware headsets that no one cares about. You know, the top ones are the Oculus and Vive. And they're basically doing a third or a half amount of that in basically 4 months. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Like 270,000 Oculus.
It's definitely a big increase, right? Like if you look at how much has actually increased from whatever the last time, it's a big increase. Yeah. And you know, and I recently purchased a Quest, so I'm still kind of bullish on VR in a little bit of ways, you know. But you know why I bought the Quest. But you know why I bought the Quest. It was just to play.
Yeah, I know why you bought it. You're the only one at this point. No one's talking about Beat Saber anymore, bro.
I'm definitely not the only one.
Okay.
Because when I was playing Half-Life Alyx, you know, like the Valve has the room that you're in, and it has a leaderboard of the top most played games, right? As a leaderboard of most played games, free ones and paid ones and all that for VR. And Beat Saber was number one on that list. Like it's just a great game, dude. Like we just have to acknowledge that.
Until they come out with Beat Saber 2, not much to say. What I will say is this, right? When in terms of like hardware is being taking some damage in the midst of this pandemic, and at the same time we're hearing at least more and more interest in VR sets and VR software. On top of the impressive numbers, I think it's pretty impressive. A lot of these companies now, I'm sure you've read them, are finally seeing a profit, like actually functioning as a business now and not relying on investor money. Like a lot of these, Boneworks is one of them. Half-Life Alyx definitely made a good portion of money.
But
being profitable. Yeah, we have the Beat Sabers and whatever that was making loads of money. Sure.
Yeah. I'll give you that. So, but like,
we're starting to hear indie companies doing it too.
No, there was a time when like the regular indie companies were struggling to make money because they couldn't find the player base, or they also couldn't get investment, couldn't get publisher backing. I haven't heard anything around those lines changing that much, you know what I mean?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I haven't, right? But maybe I'm wrong. But I just say, I haven't heard much changing around those lines in terms of like VR video games, right? Like it's kind of a barren wasteland, like for VR video games right now. Like, you know what, Half-Life Alyx, Boneworks, Beat Saber, like what are the other ones that you always hear about, right?
Of course, I think it's doing better than Stadia at least, but but like kind of Boneworks is the game basically, you know, it's an indie team, and even Valve was impressed with them and kind of changed their a lot of their game design of Half-Life Alyx to kind of push it a little further. But this is a small indie company that really pushed design over everything else. And just made it super accessible, and they made $3 million in revenue across all platforms, right?
That's really good. Yeah,
that's pretty damn good. Right? And of course, Beat Saber's really in there talking about it as well. But this is very new to this space for VR. You know, we're talking about super hard VR. We're talking about different games. I mean, these are basically the games that make money in VR right there.
Super hot.
Blade and Sorcery, I've heard of that. Skyrim, of course, those guys always make money off of their takes. But this is very new. This is within, I think, the end of last year and early this year, where we're starting to hear like a turn for VR titles and it not being such a risk anymore. And a lot of that is attributed to a good amount of VR owners. Like if you combine all the headsets.
Check out that clarification though. 3 million revenue is a rough estimate.
Based this is on without the US price and point. Stuff. Right.
Well, that's also without the other like stores taking their cut and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Right? Sure. Yeah. So they got $1 million. Something around that line. But if this was put on a graph, right? I mean, that is a positive. I'm going crazy here.
Whoa, it's so, jeez. Expensive software going on.
It's a one-man operation, dude. I have a whole team. But that, I mean, that is a pot. Like, I'm actually looking forward. Like, this is very anti. Let's just say, Magic Leap, where we're actually seeing a consumer market embracing a technology. They're actually embracing it, right?
Well, because they can buy it.
Yeah,
they can buy it, right? Like, even when like Oculus first came out, it was $800. Everybody's like, "Oh, $800? That's ridiculous," right? But people still bought that. You know, yeah. People are buying Valve Index at $1,000. You know what I mean? But yeah, people are buying it. That's why, like, people buy it. There's a market for it. Games are going to be there. And
so was Magic Leap anywhere to buy? Was it ever?
No, you could only get the developer kits for $2,500. Yeah.
Wow. So they completely
exactly
nixed anybody to make content for it, but also, you know.
Well, they made it available for people. Yeah, they made it available for people to make content for it, but like, you go to a job, $2,500 to make content for a platform that nobody's going to buy.
It's a very odd business plan. I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, this is number one problem with Silicon Valley companies nowadays. It's just the tech hype, all that investor money, yeah. And just right into the sunset.
The patents are worth something. You know what I mean? So.
Are they? Well, it'll be interesting to see what they turn out of it. All right. So let me kind of talk about the next topic here. This is actually pretty interesting. So I'll switch here and look at the PS5. So the PS5 is kind of ramping up to something a lot of people are speculating and talking about this. They're showing little hints, and of course, because of COVID, a lot of these events that have been planned are kind of taking a divergence, and you're slowly seeing pieces of information, right? And what we questioned actually a month ago, what I questioned was, are they really going to still go on with it with the launch plans in the winter? Are people going to even have money with a 20% unemployment rate in the country? So some news I've seen is that, yeah, of course, a lot of their products are not being produced because, you know, a lot of it's being done in China. And so they're not going to have as many devices out. At the same time, they're very slow in revealing anything.
Yeah.
So what have you been hearing through the grapevine, man? Is it because they don't have money, or what's going on over here, dude?
No, I've heard the same thing that you've heard. It's like, yeah, you know, factory closures in China during COVID and the big shutdown has impacted production. That's all I've heard. Like, that's it. Like, for me, I don't care. Like, I don't care about that stuff. I don't care about if it's going to launch in Christmas or not. I'm pretty sure it will, right? Like, you know, it'll just be business as usual, right? Maybe you won't be able to find one as easy as, say, an Xbox Series X. Maybe, who knows? But at the end of the day, what I really want is I want to see the games, right? I said it before for every... like for Magic Leap and for Stadia, right? Like, content rules, right? And so it really matters, what are the launch titles, what do they look like, and why am I buying yet another console? Mm-hmm.
I think with Sony and Nintendo, it's always a safe bet. They always produce hits from their first-party studios. Microsoft, I think, is starting to understand that, and maybe... their second round of releases with the new studios they've been snatching up, it will finally hit a stride. But Sony and Nintendo are very reliable when they talk about the first party games. It just always becomes classics, yeah. Instant classics, right? So yeah. I too am very excited to kind of see.
I'm not even talking like even first party. Like, I'm not too sure like what first party things you say. Yeah, maybe something from Gorilla on Decima Engine, right? Maybe.
Yeah.
Right. But but I really just want to see like some good games that really show this is why that hard drive is important. This is why you need this extra power, and like this is why you need to buy this box because this game's amazing and you can't get this anywhere else, yeah. Right? Yeah. Like that's what I want to see, right? And that's something that I have not seen as yet, even with Xbox Series X. Like, you know, when they made the big splash, they showed Gears.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, cool. Right? So
they should have like, killed, you know, Gears.
I need to see something.
After three, they should have killed Gears. You know? It's very surprising that they snatched up the IP. And Epic definitely walked away super happy about that. They're like, oh, yeah, please.
No, man, like, I'm not
here anymore.
I'm not gonna hate on Gears of War because it's a huge ass franchise that a lot of people love, right? But it's not my cup of tea. But I know a lot of people like it, right?
Hey, man, I love Gears 1.
A lot of people like that game. No,
Gears
dude.
1, Gears 2, Gears 3. I was on board, dude.
The Gears fandom don't care, man. There's some hardcore Gears fans out there. So. All
right. I guess I'm the dinosaur then. Yeah. I guess I like Horizon Zero Dawn and other awesome games, right?
Yeah.
Every time I see the new trailers from Gears, I just like, what is new? I can't. I'm like, I'm really looking at what. I mean, is that his son? Is that the oldest newest?
It's Gears of War, dude. It don't matter. It's Gears of War. I got a chainsaw on my gun. Like I'm good. Like whatever. Right? That's
no,
you know.
Man. God of War 4, right, showed that you can't just can't put a number behind it and people are going to buy it, man. That's a freaking game design with thematic values and story elements and twists and turns and epic moments that they repackaged, and Ascension looked just as good or better than all the other ones, and it didn't work because there was fatigue. Somehow Gears didn't get the message. And didn't do what the next God of War did, which completely reimagined it, right? If you reimagine it, I'm cool with it. I mean, that's why Final Fantasy can keep going. Yeah. It's kind of like what BioShock is doing, right? They can do whatever now at that point. These franchises have to understand that.
And no, like I admire that Gears of War, sorry, God of War did that. Yeah. Did that switch. And I think the game is great, and I played it, and it's one of my favorite. Like, it's a good game. It's not a gear. It's not a God of War game, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not a God of War game. It's a new game with Kratos in it. You know what I mean? That's kind of how I feel about it. Yeah. Right. So, like, yeah. I wish
you just
got
to change the gun with the chainsaw to something else. I mean, that's
action,
a bold
action game.
Yeah. It's an action game. Well, the last thing I want to talk about, because we are hitting that hour mark and we covered a lot, and there's two topics that we can talk about, but I feel like we need to kind of give some lip service to Valorant. That seems to be what the dominant thing was the last month. I was going to talk about Red Dead a bit or the Rockstar guys, but there's not too much info on GTA 6, so maybe next time. So Valorant, the past month, has been enjoying a lot of uptick with Twitch views because they tied the whole marketing behind watching Twitch, watching people play the game to get beta keys, right? And so there was a huge amount of people interest that kind of flooded the Twitch channels. I kind of want to ask you, like, we all know that streaming is a strategy that every game needs to consider as part of the game design, right? You have to be at the drawing table and consider streaming or viewability as entertainment along with the gameplay itself. Like, if you're not doing that, you might as well just call it a day and go home and quit the industry, right? But what we're seeing, there's been a lot of talk about, because of the interest of going to Twitch, there's all these fake channels being set up that saying they're live, but they're not. And a lot of pro streamers are generally saying that it's boring to watch and that all this interest is kind of fake and that it will fade and be a fad. people who are liking it are liking it because, you know, it has a lot of cool Counter-Strike values that have been tried for the through the test of time, right? 20 years is nothing to kind of scoff at. I actually think it was really smart for them to kind of innovate off of Counter-Strike and kind of add their own flavor. I think it's very smart. It's very clever. It's really safe. And I kind of want to know your thoughts. Did you get a chance to play it? Have you talked to people around? Is it something that you seem pretty interested in?
Nope to every one of those questions. Yeah, I know it exists, and I know the streamers are playing, and I know I've seen some friends of mine are also playing and streaming. Yeah. And I'm just like, I look at it, and I'm like, nope, not another one of these. I'm good.
Have you ever been into Counter-Strike before? Were you a Counter-Strike
player? I played back in the day. I played some Counter-Strike with folks I worked with back in the day. I didn't play a lot of Counter-Strike. I played way more, you know, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, and Battlefield than I've ever played Counter-Strike. I played Counter-Strike. I know I've had some tense and fun moments playing Counter-Strike for sure. But I'm just not into it that much. And Valorant, like, it looks like Overwatch mixed with Counter-Strike, Team Fortress. Yeah. Like, you know, there's so many of these games that have been made, right? And so many have come and gone and failed. I don't think the only thing I think that makes Valorant not something that will come and go is it's made by Riot, right? And when it comes to streaming and esports, they know what's up. They know how to do that, right? You know what I mean? So maybe it'll have a permanent slice of the market where it sits, right? But in terms of my interests or engagement whatsoever, it's literally at zero. Like, I do not care at all. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, at all. I heard it was in beta. I heard you had to get keys and deal with certain. I'm like, nah, I don't care.
Right? I don't want to go through all that. I'll try it if it shows up on my tab. Yeah, I'm very... because Overwatch was the biggest thing when it came out, and for a while it kind of stayed. But I don't really hear too much Overwatch lately. It's always been Fortnite, Apex, now Call of Duty, Warzone. Like, is this just one of those games that just don't have that lasting power? I mean, what is the difference?
I wouldn't say lasting power, right? Because there is an Overwatch esports league where people are making money playing over. You know, there's NFL owners own Overwatch teams, right? So I'm pretty sure that's a huge accomplishment, right? So definitely when people sit down to play one of these games, right? Overwatch seems to be fading from that discussion, right? And it's all about Apex. I hear a whole lot about Apex and Fortnite more than I hear about anything else, right? So
just not. I come from this space, right? You know, shooters are my thing, right? And I've just been so disinterested with shooters lately because of the Battle Royale phase. I might be alone in this. I just don't like Battle Royale. I even with Modern Warfare Warzone, that's my game, right? I'm going in there. It's the loop. I'm just not interested. It's like I'm looting and waiting. And then I'm looting some more. And then I get shot.
Yeah.
And even if I have a good streak and I win a couple times, it just doesn't matter. There's no thrill in it for me.
Yeah, that's my problem with Battle Royale too. I would say Apex though felt different enough where it felt fresh when I played Apex. Generally I'm not down with the whole Battle Royale thing at all. And these days, especially now, I don't have the time to invest to get good at these games. So I'm just I'm just going to be on some team with a bunch of people that are super serious about it. And I'm going to be a scrub, and it's just going to be a horrible experience for everybody. So I might as well just not play.
We can scrub together, dude. we are definitely having a lot more time to play games. I mean, I'm using this time to kind of catch up on these single player games that I've never touched. I'm playing through Last of Us. I haven't played that game. Yeah, that's how far back I am. So I'm like, whatever time I do have, I'm playing that with Half-Life Alyx. You know, I'm kind of spending my time between the two. But like, I've been kind of moving away from the multiplayer because it's been so polluted with Battle Royale. It's too much. Yeah. Like, how many Battle Royales do you need?
Yeah, dude, I'm going back to my my nerd games. You know, I'm playing like Anno 1800, Chimera. I'm playing some Chimera Squad, just came out, right? XCOM Chimera Squad.
That's Gears, what I'm finding Gears myself Tactics. Doing. Exactly, yeah.
Gears Tactics just came out, so I'm going to play that. I'm going back to the nerd strategy, just me and the computer playing these games. You know, that's what I'm doing right now. Like, I think I'm full up with shooters, and like, I don't need to play any more of those games, like, at all.
It's definitely. I feel like that definitely is a trend, at least with game developers. Not only for catching up on games, it's just like, I want to walk away from an entertainment experience with bettering myself in some way, right? Like, creatively, I'm getting something from the single player strategy games that I am improving myself on. These shooters, I mean, you get better in shooting, but you're walking away just being rapid shooters that are really good at aiming, right? But you're not walking away and being thematically, you know, intrigued and interested and creatively going back to your table and bringing that experience into your art or whatever that you're doing, right? Yeah. I mean, I can get really good at Warzone, but it doesn't do anything. Yeah.
Well, it's a different experience, right? Like, those games is about creating your own story and your own experience with the people you're playing with. Sure. And, you know, the other games are like a crafted story that somebody's telling you, right? Or somebody wants you to experience. And it's up to you to decide which one you want, right? But definitely, it's just, just some shooter fatigue and Battle Royale fatigue for sure.
Right? It's a bit much, but it doesn't seem, we seem like the old people here. Everyone seems to be loving this. It's the fad, right? People are telling us, man, we're old, dude. We're going back. I'm playing Last of Us in freaking 2020, for God's sake. maybe people are preparing themselves for the number two that's coming out, but it's a good game, man. Last of Us is pretty good. You should try it out.
Last of Us is a good game. There's no doubt. Game, yeah. No doubt. Yeah.
I missed it. Well, anyways, that concludes this month's Roundtable News, and it's a bit lonely, but it's never lonely with you, Ray. I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your thoughts. Maybe a lot of these topics are tying in together, but we're definitely not they're not lasting as long as before. I mean, GameStop was a hot topic, but they're out. Magic Leap is seeing their way out. I'm pretty sure Stadia's next, dude. To be honest, what you're talking about. I don't see how they can survive this.
I see them sticking around. We'll see how it goes.
I'd be very surprised. Let's talk about all the Google products, right? I have the Pixel phone, and I was shaking and worried about it disappearing. Because my phone before, you remember, my phone was a Microsoft phone. That Ronaldo told me to get, right? So I saw that die in my hands. He was hyping it up. He's like, "Yeah, where's Microsoft is gonna go?"
That's your first mistake. That was your first mistake listening to Ronaldo. But...
Yeah, and then I moved to Google, that is known for shutting shit down the day after or the day before they announce it, right?
I think Pixel phone is a safe bet.
It's a safe bet now. Yeah, man. Yeah. Google Maps, Google Search Engine, Google Pixel. That's all the products that they have. Nothing else Google exists. Drive, Google Drive, Drive Gmail, sure. Fine. But these are like, for everyone that's around, 1,000 more I can name that are lost. Google Photos. I'm sorry, man.
Google Photos.
Yeah. There's a reason why they named their system Stadia. I mean, it was just in good hopes that it would stay.
Terrible. Oh, man.
Be right with you. See you later. All right. So that ends today's podcast. I want to thank you, Ray. And, of course, at all times, you can tweet at him for any of his opinion at how do you pronounce it again? I always say it wrong.
I all of a sudden forgot my Twitter handle. After you said
it at Waterrock. Right. I never say it right. WADARASS. All right, we'll see it in the show notes. Maybe I'll flash it here in the post-production for all you to find. But, tweet it. Tweet at him, man, with your opinions. It's always fun. All right, guys, that's it. And that ends today's podcast. Have a good night.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you are liking the podcast, go to the Apple iTunes store and give Game Dev Unchained a 5-star rating. This will help spread the joy and love and exposure for the podcast, and we thank you very much. If you want to continue the conversation, go to our Discord, which can be found on our website, www.gamedevunchained.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at BlueChamps, BlueChamps. You want to catch these episodes live every Tuesdays and Thursdays, go to twitch.tv/blue_champs. Email me any of your concerns or questions that you want me to read aloud at the beginning of each episode at info@gamedevunchained.com. And if you want to further support us and help unlock the next feature, which is the voicemail feature, go to patreon.com/BlueChamps. This gives listeners a chance to kind of call in, leave a message for both me and the guests to answer your deepest, darkest questions and comment on your deepest, darkest secrets. Thank you, everybody.